Écoutez pour mieux s'entendre.
Meet FM.
Listen to understand each other better. Ladies and gentlemen, hello and welcome to the Voice of DECA, the ultimate podcast of the Ways of Europe project, which takes you to the heart of issues related to migration, just transition, soft mobility and youth employment. You will learn, understand and unlearn. I therefore invite you to get comfortable with a glass of water by your side.
Now let's take this perspective into a debate where different opinions can be shared and challenged in an open conversation.
Today we will talk about just transitions, how cities can shift toward ecological sustainability while answering fairness for all. And to illustrate these challenges, we will look closely at the French city of Dunkerque. By just transition, I mean a transformation of society and economy that aims for ecological sustainability and at the same time takes into account social justice. That means reducing pollution, but also ensuring the people whose jobs are tied to polluting industries are not left behind. Dunkerque is an interesting case. It has an heavy industry, a large port, a strong economic weight. It's the third largest maritime port in France. It has dominant sectors in steel, shipping, freight, and it also has urban dynamics. For example, in the city, the buses are free, and also the bike they made huge investment in bike lanes. And the intention is how to reduce pollution and environmental harm and reduce dependency on heavy industry while preserving employment. So as an example of the future of the industry Dunkerque has the ambition to be, they started a huge project of a battery factory. This project is made by the company Vector, and it has a goal to produce for each year more than 300,000 batteries, electric lithium-ion batteries, for electric vehicles. Also, ArcelorMittal, a huge industry, in France we have a plan to. They have finance, like they have investments in order to decarbonize their industry. And there are some nuances to give to these projects. For example, how green really are the battery industry when we take into account the extraction of the materials to the recycling. And also towards the investment from France to ArcelorMittal in order to reduce the emissions. There are a lot of controversy about the conditions for this investment and also how well does it work. And Dunkerque also has it illustrates a lot the problematic of jobs. There's a lot of young people unemployment because they don't want to work in these factories. And also a lot of people working in these factories that... Where will they work if the city gets to this transition? So, what kind of jobs can we propose? There's a lot of examples of, for example, new jobs coming from the transition, like industrial decarbonization. For example, people for the inspection, the maintenance. For example, a technician in water treatment, but also. People could transition into service sectors role, such as public transportation. We need drivers, we need mobility planners, education, local business. And in order to actually transition into your job, in France, we have VAE, Validation des Acquis de l'Expérience, which is a process by which any person, regardless of age, education level, or status, can validate their professional experience in order to get a new diploma or certification. So these are examples we can see with Dunkerque. And also, we can also see the examples of investments that come from the state, from the region, but also from Europe, since the battery company has received investment from the European Bank of Investment. And now I will give the... so now I will let Antoine explain, give a testimony about his activity in towards ecological transition.
Thank you, Arnaud. I'm now going to talk to you about ecological transition at La Ligue de l'Enseignement. It's a mission that doesn't have a fixed department and aims to intervene in all sectors and departments of La Ligue de l'Enseignement. We want to create shared culture around ecological transition within the Ligue de l'Enseignement. We run workshops on waste sorting, digital issues, and changing practice. We also carry out European projects such as EcoReact, where we are part of European actors working to provide an educational response to ecology for young people. At La Ligue de l'Enseignement, we take a part in the project of Just for All, an European project being part of European Civil Forum and Solidar Network to raise awareness of the just transition from the civil society to European institutions. The Ecological Transition Mission also works in the field of environmental policy, in particular at the collection and monitoring of environmental data, such as energy consumption, water use, waste production. So you can see we have very broad scope of work regarding ecological transition at La Ligue de l'Enseignement.
Okay, so we want to talk about something that is very present in Barcelona, but often invisible, the inequality and precariousness that many migrant workers face, especially in sectors like construction and industry. Just one figure to start with, a third of Barcelona's population was born outside Spain. That means diversity, yes, but also that many of the hardest, most dangerous jobs are carried out by people who don't have the same protection as the rest.
I can share this from close up. My father works in construction, and he always say it's almost impossible to find a local workers who are trained for it. Most of the people who end up on the job are migrants, and many of them don't even have papers. That makes everything harder. Companies can't formalize contracts, workers can't demand their rights, and at the end of the day, they don't have access to basic service or even a dignified place to live.
Yeah, and the numbers confirm it. In 2023, Catalonia recorded 103 workplace deaths, many in construction and industry. By July 2024, there had already been more than 30,000 workplace accidents with sick leave in the Barcelona area. Behind those numbers, there are real people, often migrants, who take the risks that others won't. On the top of that, rents in 22 of Barcelona's neighborhoods are already higher than the monthly minimum wage. Imagine working long shifts in construction or a factory and still not being able to afford rent. It's not just unfair, it's unsustainable. The truth is, Barcelona presents itself as open and cosmopolitan, but it's being built, literally, on the backs of people who don't enjoy the same rights or security. And this isn't just a migrant issue. It's about the kind of city we want to live in. So for us, the lesson is clear. Dignity at work and access to housing cannot depend on your passport. If migrants are building our homes, our streets, our schools, then they deserve to feel at home here too.
When it comes to the experience of Arci Solidarietà and the people that Arci Solidarietà work with in Rome, we do talk about people that feel really the uncertainties of our time. So when it comes to labor inclusion and when it comes also to think about just transition, we really need to reflect upon the experiences of the people that can be considered the people that are maybe the losers of globalization. So the persons that are not that did not find the security for their life. So when we talk about labor inclusion, when we talk about rights, we really can refer to the experiences of people with migrant background, Roma communities, and people that do find themselves in situations of socioeconomic vulnerability. And those are the people we should provide more answers on how is it really possible to do a just transition, and how is it possible to make sure that everyone can have a better future. But then, of course, we need to reflect upon how big this challenge is, because this does not regard only the people that are with us in Rome, but these experiences, these voices, these lives, and these life experiences are shared globally. So in Rome, in Barcelona, in Dunkerque, but also all over the world. In Italy, when it comes, when we speak about sustainability, we do encounter the same challenges and problems that other countries are facing, because we need to change the industrial, the agricultural system. In a country where there are some big industrial sites, especially in Taranto and in Sardinia, so in Puglia, in Sardinia, but also in other sectors that historically have been part of the economy of the country. And to do that, of course, you need investments, you need a project that does not only relate to Italy, but also to the other countries in Europe and in a broader perspective to the entire world. Of course, there are measures, there are policies that are implemented at the moment. We do have the European Green Deal, we do have policies that try to go in the direction of sustainability, but we also can see all the limits of the tools that we have at our disposal. And this happens in a time in which we hear the President Trump saying that climate change is a scam, so it's something that it's not relevant or not existing at all. So this is the kind of world that we're facing right now. So when we talk about the just transition, we need to consider both the limits and opportunities, but also try to find a way on how to connect the local experiences and the voices and the problems and the challenges to a broader framework that can be implemented not only in the European Union, but in the entire world, because we're talking about defending not only humanity, but the planet, the entire planet. So when it comes to the tools that are in place at the moment, we can see that there is an attempt to create more coordination and common plans, because when we think about the environment goes beyond borders. So it's not just about one city and one country, it's about everyone and all the countries all together. But the problem is that when you want to do such policies, such policy, you need investments. And to have investments, you need to have the economic tool to make the policy possible. And this is the great issue that we have at the European Union, that we do not have such big investments that we can do that can impact on so many cities and on so many territories. So we are going towards the right direction, but we also need to think on how to change structurally the system to make it capable of responding to the challenges. And this must go together with an effort that is shared with other countries in the world. Also because we know that there are private and public actors that are going towards another direction. So we need to give credibility again to the multilateral system, the UN system, the system of the countries that want to go towards a shared direction. We do have goals that are shared globally, but again, we do not have the right tools to implement such policies. And this is why it's so important also the topic of just transition. In the moment in which we start finding the resources and the revenues through the carbon pricing, the carbon border adjustment, and these economic tools, then we also need to think on how to redistribute the resources that we are finding together. And this is why it's very important that these resources are used for the people, for the welfare system, to defend them in case of unemployment, and to make sure that they feel safe. At the end of the day, the challenge that we have to face is to make sure that people do not perceive sustainability and the transition as something that should be afraid of, but really an opportunity and hope for the future. And to do that, we need to think structurally, we need to think globally, and we need to think about new tools that can really bring just transition to reality.
This debate gave us valuable insight and diverse perspectives. To go even deeper, we'll now turn to professionals who can help us understand the bigger picture.
My name is Emma Fornaro. I'm a parliamentary assistant for MP Julien Gauquel, the deputy for the 13th constituency of North Dunkerque.
All right, so we would just like to know a little more about what has been put in place in terms of ecological projects to fight pollution in the city, etc.
Well, we do not work very closely with the city of Dunkerque on that aspect, at least not directly or for now. But I do know what the MP, my MP at least, works on issues related more broadly to France as a whole, mainly in Paris. And we try to decentralize somewhat to see what is being done locally and to highlight the actions already implemented by the mayor of Dunkerque or initiatives taking place in Dunkerque. And then to contribute as best as we can, because we do not have much direct influence over Dunkerque, but we try to create a link between Paris and Dunkerque on these issues.
Okay, and if you personally had ideas, what would you propose to do if you had the ability to put forward initiative?
I completed a master's degree somewhat related to ecology, ecological transition. So, of course, on my part, I try to adopt personal initiative first. And when I can, when my opinion is requested, I try to contribute alongside the MP and see what can be implemented and how it can be done. I don't mind giving my opinion and taking part of that.
Okay, and more broadly, in terms of France, Europe, etc., do you think that many things are really being done for ecology or not that much?
I think that there is already some good initiatives in places, and that is important to highlight them. It's not about being negative, but I think it's still limited compared to what would need to be done right now. These initiatives are good, but collective effort is not always shared equally. A lot is being asked of individuals, but major corporate stockholders, for example, also need to mobilize more.
Alors ici, on est dans le local de l'association AFEV, donc AFEV Dunkerque, c'est une association nationale.
So we are here in the premises of the AFEV association, AFEV Dunkerque. So AFEV is a national association. It is present in 81 local branches in France and also abroad, in Barcelona and Brussels, for example. There are many actions and programs focused on popular education. Personally, I'm in charge of what we call student mentoring. Student mentoring involves a young person being supported 2 hours per week by another young person, either a student or a working adult, with the goal of helping them with personal needs, academic needs, or so on. To give a few figures, in Dunkerque, around 100 children are supported through student mentoring. There is also high school mentoring. In this case, high school students commit to supporting a child through workshops within a school setting. This is 1 hour per week instead of two.
And if we talk about migration as a topic, what is your connection to it?
Our connection to immigration? I'm not sure how best to put it, but it is true that among our volunteers, many are foreign students who came to France specifically to study, often in scientific fields. We have a very diverse audience. It also allows for cultural exchange, for building connections, and so on. That is broadly our approach to this issue.
And do you find that these foreign individuals, without being pejorative, manage to integrate well there? Do they face difficulties?
There may be some difficulties, I guess. We mainly work with young students who belong to a category that integrates more easily because they are often highly educated and come to pursue a master's degree, etc. Among students, we observe fairly easy integration as they are in engineering-type programs with a clear professional path ahead. However, regarding to the children we support, there is also a core objective of the association. We notice that many parents have difficulties with the language and are unable to help their children. Whether with reading exercise or various administrative matters, they turn to us, or the national education system refer them to us, telling us that a particular child needs help with a specific issue or subject. That is where a volunteer can step in to help address these difficulties. As for the willingness to integrate, I think it's quite clear. I have always seen families and volunteers who want to learn, want to integrate, or at least to participate in social life, even in terms of civil engagement.
Are there people who do not want to integrate or who refuse support?
Honestly, very few refuse the association supports, especially among the profiles we work with. We also have supported Ukrainian refugees and worked with unaccompanied minors. Each time the support has been very well received. There is no difference between foreign families and local families in terms of acceptance of supports.
And regarding the policies implemented by the city, do you see anything specific? Or is it viewed positively or negatively? What do you personally think?
As an association, we have not observed major differences in the city's policies, nor among residents or the people we support. It feels as though there is no particularly distinct policy. There are, of course, some forms of social supports, but overall, we do not receive much feedback on this.
And do you think the state could help these people more by improving infrastructure, for example, to encourage them to stay and participate?
Yeah, absolutely, especially regarding Dunkirk's local associative network, which is sometimes underfunded and lacks infrastructure. There are many possible bridges that could be built. As an association, we aim to promote youth empowerment. We consider ourselves essential organizations for the local territory. Increasing investments in this area could create more vocations, more motivation, and ultimately encourage people to stay by creating opportunities for success. It might also help change the image of immigration, which I believe is not very positive today.
Could that image be changed?
Yes, and this is also what we try to do within the association. We aim to show diversity to promote equal opportunities so that everyone starts from the same point. And by creating connections between communities, students, working class, neighborhood, etc., we challenge stereotypes and prejudice. However, our scales of action remain limited. The real scales is national and global. We operate at a local level.
When you say you try to change this, what concrete action do you take?
At all levels of action, there is mentoring, first of all. Mentoring is often a cultural exchange. We have held workshops, misinformation, for example, that sum up our actions, and we remain very vigilant in fighting all forms of discrimination.
In summary, the voice of Dunkirk through this podcast highlights key themes related to immigration and just transition. Many ideas and solutions have been put forward to find an optimal and sustainable solution. We therefore remain confident that SACOM's initiative for the benefit of all will translate into action to achieve the goal of a balanced world.